Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on your broads. I'm Ronnie, and I'm with Ben, the gorgeous, talented, and today COVID-stricken, Ben Mandelker.
Hi.
Hello, my little lamb. I wish I was there to woo you.
Oh, thank you. I am here. Yeah. I'm drinking a nice mug of tea, and for people who are watching on video, they might... If they look at my mug, they might recognize something. Do you know what my mug is?
Somebody doing a handstand.
Yeah, it's a headstand. One of our listeners gave this to me.
Headstand.
Maybe I think to both of us. It is a mug of Caroline Fleming doing a headstand on Ladies of London.
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing? So good.
I'm literally drinking the tea because we are talking tea. I'm urban, wild, and crazy. We did a two-part Real Housewives of New York episode this week, so that's already out. And this is Atlanta. Sorry to be a little late, but we did take Labor Day off.
Yes.
So that's why we are also having to, because we took that day off, we're going to have to cut something from the schedule this week. And guess what wins? It's the show that's on two episodes a week for no fucking reason at all. And even though it's a brilliant show, we're saying fuck you this week.
Listen, I have COVID. I'm pulling the COVID
Ben has
card.
COVID.
I need to rest. Okay. Yeah. I really need to rest. So we're putting Below Deck Down Under on the back burner for this week. It'll be back next week. I apologize to everyone. I'm sorry, but I have to pull the sick card on this one.
But also, guess what? It's not only COVID. It's also it's a holiday week. Also, so many housewives. And when it comes down to it, this show is always going to choose the housewives over everything else because this is our Bravo, okay? This week we have New York, Salt Lake City, the premiere of Salt Lake City, which is amazing. And Atlanta reunion, which was hilarious.
It was.
Plus Real Housewives of Orange County, yep, which looks like it's going to be amazing as well.
That's four housewives. Didn't even
realize. Housewives win.
Housewives win. Sorry.
Every time.
Yeah. So, but genuinely, I'm sorry for those who are excited to find out what happened to the guy who was. I haven't watched it yet, so I didn't see it last. I went to sleep before it came on the air last night. So even I'm wondering what happened to that poor man who was having a seizure at the end of last week. So we'll report back on that, I'm sure, next week when we do our proper recaps.
Well, also, like, if you're waiting for that, Google it. Like, literally, if you care that much, Google it.
Yeah. Is that gentleman alive?
Care. Now, I don't care because you know what? People die. So I don't know him. I have enough to worry about over here without worrying about some stranger on Below Deck. You know what? You didn't feel good. Stay home. That's what I say.
Now, listen.
What if he did die? I hope he didn't.
I hope
die.
He
if
didn't
you
die.
Really did die, I'm sorry.
I hope he's alive. But I want to say,
didn't die, I don't care.
In terms of like life cycles, Real Housewives of Atlanta, wow. Everyone's talking, is this show going to get a reboot? Is it going to get a reboot? Who knows? But what I will say, though, is that, you know, I personally have been ragging on this season. I've actually ragged on the past few seasons because I think the show has been not as good as it really can be. It's been actually, like, bad. And but that being said, credit where credit is due. This was a funny reunion. This was, like, this was some hilarious shit that happened on this hour.
Super interesting about the reboot talk. Kenya went on to Carlos King. Hi, Carlos.
Hi, Carlos.
Love
we love
you.
Carlos.
She went on there and she was basically complaining that they cut all of her storyline this year and that she had a huge opening for Kenya Moore hair care and they didn't show it and it's all production's fault. And so now you might notice that all of the comments online are like, fuck production. They need new production. Fuck them at production. Which is very rare to hear in comments, but it's so funny that Kenya literally got pitchforks and torches out for production because you very rarely hear people specifically calling for production to get fired.
Yeah.
So good for Kenya because she really got people riled up. There was a TikToker who was great and made a TikTok going to Kenya Moore Hair Care and showing us that it is still not open.
Mm.
So Kenya, whatever. And maybe it's for the construction, so she has a second floor opening. Maybe it's that. I mean, nobody really knows.
Yeah.
But I just think it's very funny for Kenya Kenya to go try and rile everybody up about production and her storyline as if they cut anything good from this season. Kenya, your storyline was cut because you didn't do shit this season but play with your kid and show up to collect your
check. Fall over.
Let's stop pretending that you did any fucking thing this season except act like you were too good to film with anybody else. You went to the hospital 2 times. I cannot with you. But that all said, she's still an impressive manipulator that she can get everybody riled up against production.
Kenya, I mean, is like, she is like a gift. She is one of the greatest villains we've ever seen. She is so good at what she does. But I firmly believe that ever since this divorce, she has been presenting a version of herself that will make her life easier in the courts. And I think that unfortunately that means she has become much less, she is not a compelling reality TV person anymore. She's trying to be very prim and proper sometimes. Sometimes she lets out the classic Kenya, which is where she just goes after someone in such a like great manipulative way. But I think that I don't think we're getting the real Kenya. If we're not getting the real Kenya, I don't know why she is here. I love Kenya. I think that she is one of the pillars of this franchise. I think, unfortunately, she may need to go, at least until her divorce is all settled.
Well, you know, the reunion ended up being good. I had worries because this is the first part of it. Sonia getting out of a limo in New York going, pop, 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 pop. I was like, okay. I'm done.
Yeah.
This is done. I almost turned it off. I just said, this is going to be the show we're skipping this week. I can't.
I was like, I can't.
Stop trying to make bop, bop, bop happen. I've had it. I've had it with pop, pop, pop.
I wanted Sonia to work. God, last season, I really was pulling for her.
I even hate Rice Krispies now. I hate them.
Even Snap and Crackle?
Yes, because they don't do anything to stop Pop. Pop's just going. They just let Pop do whatever the fuck they want in public. And at some point, you have to be responsible for your friend acting out.
Yeah, well, Sonia, I feel like her time on the show is definitely should be done. And I don't know. I don't know what's in store for this reboot. I'm sure, I don't know. Are we putting this up after? We're putting this up after Crappy Hour, right? So we probably will have talked about this.
Yeah, this comes up Wednesday.
We probably will have talked this all through. So the point is this. Sonia not doing much to help team no reboot, okay? So everyone's arriving. People are backstage. Andy's like he's sitting on the stage at he's meditating because the stage is set up to look like one of the sound bath that they went to in Portugal. So he's meditating and at this point, I'm very, very, very concerned about what this reunion is going to be like. I'm like, oh, man, they're already putting in so much filler. They're not going to have anything for us.
So then Drew's hair guy is like, are you ready to gather these girls? And she's like, ready to gather them all at one time. It's like, oh, God, Drew can't even fake being interesting for the very first part. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. And then in Marlo's room, she's like, you know, I inspire these girls. These girls are happy every day I do this. And then we see behind Marlo, she has a chalkboard and it's called Ex-Con Affirmations. I am light. I am love. Kenya Moore is Kenyaless. What does that mean?
Kenyaless? Well, it's something that afflicts your fingernails, maybe.
Candy is old news. You got this. Live preaching OG.
I fully missed that list. I'm so mad. So now people come out on stage. Sonia has a beautiful baby bump. So Drew is like, that's a blessing. And he's like, this is a blessing. I say that because I've got 2 kids. I'm a dad. I know about dad blessings.
I can say blessings because I'm a dad now. Okay, who picked the color theme for this year's?
Very
what
mermaid-y.
What happened?
It literally looks like the backdrop of our video right now.
It does. It's like the crap. Listen, we should love it. We should take it as a tribute. Not this season. Do not give me a color tribute on this season. What happened it looked like a pinata through a paper shredder. It looked like a Smurf-themed party pinata put through a paper shredder.
It was very little
mermaid. And to that I say, who shreds candy? Who would do that?
So here is also a bad sign. Drew Sidora gets the number one spot. I mean, I don't even understand how this happens. Someone online posted something that was like, I wonder if Drew Sidora's back hurts from carrying the whole season. I'm like, I don't think she carried.
She did not carry the season. Please. Are you kidding?
Nothing else
going
on.
Carry the groceries she doesn't pay for that fake-ass chef to come cook for her for 2 days in a row. Drew carries nothing. They picked up filming on this season for Drew to say nothing about anything. Please.
If anything, I mean, I don't even know. I don't think anyone carried the season. This is like the time in ninth grade when we went on a field trip and we went to like a ropes course and everything. And we had to learn about trust falls, you know, and everyone stands up and falls backwards. And we all put our hands out. Everyone catches everyone. And then we all did it. And then we're like, oh, Mr. Kober, our science teacher. We're like, Mr. Kober, you do it. Do it, Mr. Kober. So he put his hands up and he fell backwards. And I guess everyone thought that everyone else was going to be doing the holding. He fell right through all of our hands and smack onto the ground.
Yeah, this is like when I was 6 years old and I woke up in the back of my parents' Suburban in the garage. You know why? Because I got really fat at that point. And I, at nighttime, I said, carry me. And guess what? No one did. And nope. I woke up in the back of the car. That was me. No one carried
Ronnie. Mr. Kober. No one held anything. No one carried anything.
Neither one of us ever trusted anybody ever again. So thank you this season of Real Housewives of Atlanta. Hey everybody, I'm Andy Cohen. Welcome to the season 15 reunion. We're hoping this Algarve, Portugal helps us raise our vibrations. Can I get an I am loving an awareness to start?
And then everyone's like, I am loving awareness.
It's a very long sentence to have to repeat. What is he talking about?
I am loving awareness.
Did you get a catchier opening?
So Andy's like, Kathy, great to see you. I'm glad we weren't too booked and busy to join us today. I'm sure we cleared this date with Don Juan many months ago. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, Sheree, you look quite refreshed. Ha, ha, ha. Why'd you get a new boob put on your forehead? And Sheree's like, well, I was having an issue with breathing. So I said, why you fix that? Give me a little tweak on my nose. And they actually reshaped my fibroids into a nose shape. And then they put them on my face, Andy.
I was like, how are you so terrified of surgery because you wanted to have constant sex, but then you got all that surgery anyway? What are you talking about?
Well, I then had a sip and see for my new face, and it was great. And Bob revealed a new daughter to me. So then Andy's like, hey, Marlo, welcome, Monty. To what do we owe this transformation? And she's like, well, I'm trying to get more into sample sizes. Oh, yeah? How are you doing that? She goes, shots. She's like, Ozempic, baby. And by the way, she looks fantastic.
And then Drew gives her a judgmental look like, I guess some of us are doing a Ozempic. Keep your judgment. Drop it with Drew.
Sorry, okay? We can't all lose 150 pounds in a week.
Oh, yeah, I'm so sorry that drop it with Drew didn't work for any of us.
Yeah.
Ever in life. I can't believe that's still a thing. LOL. By the way, drop it with Drew doesn't even work for drop it with Drew. I saw your 404 errors on your fucking site. Get out of here with your judgment. So Andy's like, Kenya, I don't know how to keep my eyes off your boobs. And it's a rare treat. You have an underboob. That's nuts.
Ah, it feels so good to talk like this. I've been in my best behavior for 4 years and I'm letting it all out again. Boobs, boobs, new face, boobs, new lost weight. Wow.
Drew, you're still boring. How's it going with you? And she's like, better, Andy, better. And goes, yeah, well, we're gonna get into the specifics of loving vaginas later. So you and Ralph are in the same house right now, huh? And she's like, yeah, it's very awkward, it's very difficult, it's very challenging, Andy.
But what was it like after you guys got the divorce?
Sonia is due on Christmas Day. Wow, I'm sure your family loves that. You can make even another day about you. That's amazing. These people can't even have fucking Christmas without it being about you and your child now. Of course Sonia's going to have a Christmas baby.
Joel, have fun Christmas baby being overshadowed for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
Have fun having your Christmas presents double as your birthday presents. That's going to be a thing for you. I say this as a Hanukkah baby myself.
Yeah, that is a true, true thing. So, Andy is talking about charades. Okay, so we're immediately going into the segments because, as you guys might have remembered in the past 20 whatever episodes, nothing happened. So, let's just jump to our first segment, which is charades, promising segments, starting out with Martell, leading to fibroids, leading to nothing.
Nothing. Mecca, ever. Bob bring around a new daughter. So Andy's like, so what's the story with Bob's daughter? And Sheree's like, well, I heard this girl came around and I don't know how they found each other, but that was his daughter. And they, you know, they didn't take a blood test, so who knows? But I didn't ask any more details because honestly, I didn't care. And
oh, you didn't care, really? So you came on national TV just to suggest that that's probably not really even his real daughter, just for fun, because it seems like you care. Who else would say that? They didn't even take a blood test.
It is funny. So then Andy's like, so why didn't your kids tell you? And she's like, they probably knew I didn't give a shit. I mean, I don't know. We're divorced. It's someone that he got together with way before me. So I don't know. I don't care. She didn't make it into She News Daily.
Yeah. And Candy goes, that was pretty crazy, though. She goes, yeah, I mean, it was a jerk move for sure. Okay, well, let's move on then, I guess. So Andy's like, okay, well, and speak on it. Both you and Drew accuse Sheree of giving more face, specifically Drew's face, Candy, because he said she looked just like Sheree. So Candy whips out her phone and she's like, let me be clear. I was speaking about a very specific picture, Andy, when I said that Sheree stole Drew's face. I just meant in that one specific picture.
Yeah.
Because Candy's innocent, never does anything wrong.
And Andy's like, well, that's like a compliment. And Sheree goes, she goes, I'm telling you, that was one of my worst pictures. So she,
so she thinks I look ugly. She looks like me at my worst.
So, guess what? Pookie from Dookie says, Sheree, you say Martell has big dick energy, but do you mind that he's still spreading that big dick all over Huntsville, Alabama? Also, do you have any pictures or videos for verification?
And she's like, you know, he's kind and respectful with me, but I did have to pull back because he's got so much mess. And Andy's like, too much noise, huh? And she's like, yeah, too much noise. And Kenny goes, but don't you care about the revenge porn, Sheree? And she's like, I don't know how accurate anything is, but yes, it was noise. And she goes, oh, well, in case you didn't hear, he's threatening to release revenge porn on his ex, Andy.
Sheree's like,
classy guy. Well, Martell gets classier every second.
And Sheree just ignores it. She's like, well, we still talk and we still hang out and I really liked him, but I like me more. So everyone's like, yay, Sheree.
I love when Sheree's like, yes, woman power. She wears, I like him, but I like me more. And everyone's like, girl power. Meanwhile, she's fucking dating a guy sending revenge porn on the last woman he dated. Yeah, girl power, Sheree. Really killing it over there.
But this is the first time that Sheree has actually gotten out of relationship, like, after only, like, a year and a half, as opposed to, like, 4 years.
She's not out of a relationship. She's still dating that guy. She's just saying that so everybody gets off of her ass.
That's probably
which,
true
again,
too.
That's your storyline. You have one interesting thing going on, and it's this guy being a total dickbag all over the world, and you refuse to talk about it. So, first problem with the show, congratulations, you're fired. So then Andy's like, so, statue from of Liberty in a thong says, Kenya, why did you wait so long to reveal that Martell slid into your DMs? Are we still talking about this? And Kenya's like, I didn't think it was serious. If it was casual, it didn't matter then. Then why would you give me the information? I gave you the information when you said you were dating.
And Martell's like, was that the time or the place? And Sheree's like, well, you're supposed to give that information before, so I don't go in that direction. I mean, how am I supposed to know that I should use Google and type in his name? I don't know how to use the computer. And Kenny is like, it was irrelevant, Sheree.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
I want you to picture Steve Jobs tinkering with a computer in his garage. Walt Disney drawing cartoons for his high school newspaper. Every big moment starts with a big dream, but what happens when that dream turns out to be an even bigger failure? Each week on Wondery's new podcast, The Big Flop, host Misha Brown is joined by different comedians to chronicle some of the biggest failures and blunders in pop culture history. Each episode will have you thinking, why in the world did this get made? From box office flops like Cats the Movie to Action Park, New Jersey's infamous theme park that had countless injuries, many lawsuits, and rides so wild it became known as Class Action Park. Or Quibi, that short-form video platform with an even shorter lifespan. It's a story of a spectacular failure with lots of surprises along the way. Enjoy The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Get started with your free trial at wondery.com/plus. Hey, listeners, you need to know that Wondery's shocking true crime podcast Over My Dead Body is back for a fourth season, Gone Hunting. This newest season covers the story of Mike Williams. It was Mike's sixth wedding anniversary when he set off on a hunting trip into the gator-infested swamps of North Florida. He figured he'd be back in time to take his wife Denise out to celebrate, but he never came back. Friends and loved ones feared he met his fate through bad luck and a group of hungry alligators, leaving his young family behind. Except that's not what happened at all. And after 17 years, a kidnapping, and the uncovering of a secret love triangle, the truth would finally be revealed. Enjoy Over My Dead Body, Gone Hunting on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Over My Dead Body early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Get started with your free trial at wondery.com/plus.
So then Andy says, well, you've given many interviews where you point out that Kenya doesn't have a man. Do you want to remind Kenya that right now, that Kenya doesn't have a man? By the way, Kenya, you don't have a man.
And she's like, well, she's saying that Martell gave her a certain energy and it was unfair because she didn't have a man. And I'm saying, well, you know, next time bring a man with you then, if you have a problem with fighting without a man. And Kenny's like, well, I wouldn't want a man that speaks to his wife like that and treats women like that. Really? Because you married Mark. And you married Mark when he was speaking to women like that and treating women like that. We saw it on television. So you might want to get off the hot, get on a lower horse. Find a lower horse to ride, ma'am. Okay, you're getting a nosebleed. Your horse is too high.
So then Sheree says that Roy has all sorts of different women around town. And then Kenya's like, well, the same could be said about Martell. And then he says, well, I think it's great that you had the strength within yourself to cut and run. But please tell me you got some dick pics. I'm telling you, I really want to see some of that shit.
So let's just take stock here. We've got Kenya faking a relationship with Call Me Kale. And we've got Sheree faking a relationship with Martell, or more accurately, faking not having a fake relationship anymore with Martell. And we've got, who's the
Marlo
other fake relationship?
And Scott Lee.
And Marlo and Scott Lee faking their relationship.
Drew and
year.
Ralph.
So that's a lot of faked relationships this year, guys. Also, just
Courtney
aside,
and reality.
I was, and her fake cousin relationship, because that's not real either. Yep. They're not really even cousins.
Moneta and
so
relevance.
So let's also, I was in LA this past week for a visit, and guess what I did? I DoorDashed Call Me Kale, because there is a Call Me Kale in LA, which I didn't know. And I got two things to try them out. Bland and tasteless.
Wow.
Okay, so there's your... Your quinoa dish has no taste. Do we not know by now to flavor some quinoa? Your Greek salad was fine, but how can you make a lemon dressing with no flavor? It's literally made out of lemon.
Terrible review for Call Me Kale, also known as Kale Me Crazy, but we like to call me Kale.
Kale me by your name.
Kale me by. Kaling me softly.
I was eating my quinoa, and Timothy Chalamet started fucking an overaged person right in front of my bowl. So that
an
was
overaged person. So Andy then turns to Kenya and goes, okay, Kenya, please tell me your divorce is final. And she goes, well, I wish I could say that, but Mark recently filed contempt charges against me, and he was trying to say that I was preventing him from seeing his child. And there was another issue where he cited where Marla was kicking the door, and he used that against me as well, saying I was putting Brooklyn in an unsafe situation.
And Andy's like, well, what's your reaction to that, Marlo? And she goes,
I felt awful. I apologize to Brooklyn for being in the middle of our bullshit.
And Kenny goes, I'm sorry, you did what? I don't even understand what you're saying right now. And then Marlo's doing that reunion thing where she just smiles and just is so innocent at the reunions, mm-hmm. you know? She's like,
well, you don't have to understand, Kenya. You do not have to understand.
Well, you are putting your daughter in an unsafe relationship by constantly insisting on bringing your daughter on Real Housewives vacations.
Yeah.
You do not have to bring your daughter. Stop pretending you can't afford a nanny.
Yep.
And leave your damn daughter at home. This is not bring your daughter to work every fucking day of your life. And you don't get to go home at 8 p.m. because you brought your daughter. You brought your giant excuse every time. Congratulations. You are also fired.
Yeah, because Marlo clarifies, and she goes, well, I apologize for Brooklyn being in on our bullshit. I hate that she was even there. That was her way of saying, like, you should not have brought her on the trip. No, because she originally said, I apologize to her for this being on bullshit. But then she goes back and says, I hate that she was even there. She's like, why are you bringing your child on this trip? Yeah, and I agree. This is not a trip for children. I don't care if you're, like, the kid is sequestered off in a room with a nanny. I'm with you. Get a nanny.
Get a fucking nanny, dude. Okay, and you know who deserves an apology? The Hyatt Place, who had their door kicked. That's who should have a restraining order.
The Hyatt Place of Birmingham. There were a lot of people in that lobby who might have wanted to use that door at some point after they put down their vodka, pineapples, and such.
So now Kenya's doing this whole, which first, just to go back to what Kenya said, he recently filed contempt charges against me saying I wasn't allowed to see my child. Well, you might want to allow him to see his child then, A, not to be on Mark's side, but I'm just saying that this whole thing, she is now trying to pin on Marlo when that was the first part of it. But now she's like, oh, well, you have to come to court now because you kicked on a door. And so now I have brought a subpoena. Hand this to her, Andy. It is her subpoena. And Andy reads it because Andy's learned his damn lesson. And there is not a damn thing on this page. It is blank.
This was up there with the letter that Adriana handed over to Andy that said, dear Adriana, I am scared for Marisol is abusing me. She's doing terrible things and she's beating me. And I'm afraid that if I don't get out of this situation soon, I am going to die. Signed, Marisol's liver.
No, I disagree with you because that was one of the most amazing moments in Housewives reunion history. This is just Kenya being fucking like lazy and lame and not actually bringing anything to the reunion but a blank piece of fucking unfilled out
paper. She printed out a subpoena form off LegalZoom and tried to pass it off, but Andy's like, it's blank. I mean, it's kind of like when people ask me to write down all the storylines from this season. It's just blank, you know?
So, that's lame. It was like a nice try by Kenya.
It was hilarious.
They just all laugh it off.
It was
hilarious. So Kenya's like, my assistant must have printed out the wrong one.
You don't print out subpoenas. Like, you don't print out, like, the subpoena is not something you don't go on. You don't go on to subpoena.com and print out the subpoena for court. Like, the subpoena is, like, doesn't work that way.
And he's like, yeah, I do not accept this in evidence. And Kenya's like, well, she's going to be a witness for me. You can be held in contempt if you're not. And Marlo's like,
I guess I could just go back to jail.
Yeah, you could go back to jail. And while you're there, you could say why you were calling and texting Mark 2 years ago.
She's like, oh, now I know you're lying. She's like, well, during discovery of the court case, I was able to subpoena his phone records, and 2 years ago, her number appears in his phone records. And we can't see what the texts say, but I can only see the number. So Andy's like, so why were you texting Mark? And Marlo's like, well, I don't remember. I don't remember texting Mark. And Kenya's like, you don't remember? Or texting Mark? Are you asking him about dirt on me? Because you did do that. They're like, Kenya, you just said you weren't able to see the text messages.
Well, she says that Mark is the one who told her. But Mark, who also we're not supposed to, Mark as an unreliable witness. Like, you can't use Mark as a character witness right now. You know what I mean? Like, she's still a mess. Yeah. So Andy's like, well, let's bring it back to Sheree. Okay, let's talk about Martell not paying for your birthday, which is another thing which was not on camera. So it's another thing that you guys shouldn't even be allowed to bring up because your season was so fucking lame you didn't even film this. So Sheree's like, listen, if I decide to invite people out for my birthday, that this is my birthday then, and I'm inviting my friends, and Martell was an invited guest. And he goes, so you're saying you should take care of it? And she goes, me?
She's like,
no.
She's like, I was definitely not trying to say that. He goes, oh, because I thought that's how you're going to finish the sentence. She's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Of course I'm not going to pay. I'm just saying that he's not expected to pay the whole thing. He's an invited guest. He puts in his part as much as everyone else.
And then he's like, oh, I thought you said you were gonna pay. She goes, what? Like, she's so mortified.
Yeah.
So
then he goes,
why would I pay for my birthday dinner? And he goes, well, you do have a very interesting relationship with bills.
And then Candy goes,
Jesus.
So Sheree's like, well, no one's ever taken me to court and said I haven't paid their bill, honey. And she looks at Drew when she says that, or tried to sue me for stealing an idea. Hey, Johnny. And looks at Candy when she says that. So now she has come for Candy randomly, and now it's on.
So we see the guy from 5 years ago hiring Phaedra as his lawyer, saying they're going to open a restaurant, and that restaurant was the same concept of mine. And I was like, steak? Was it the steak? But no, it was OLG. And Candy's like, my restaurant is based on my aunties. So I'm not really sure how somebody came up with my aunts, but whatever, guys. And she goes, oh, yeah. And what about the guy who said he was the one who had the fashions and the fashions that you didn't even bother putting on your website of your business? Because, of course, Sheree has been taken to court for not paying bills. Like, has Sheree ever paid a bill?
So come then on. Sheree pulls out a piece of paper as if she has, like, invoices or like a log of payments, but it's just a printout of Rowan's Instagram. Rowan was the woman who was helping Sheree put up the fashion show last season. And the Instagram post is basically like, hey, I paid the guy and then Sheree reimbursed me. There's no issue here. And I just love that that was like her evidence. It was a printed out Instagram of someone else that's like, testifying on her behalf in a way that is not legally binding whatsoever.
By the way, this is the third person who's whipped out a piece of paper as evidence. Just sit on filing cabinets. Why are we even bothering anymore? Just have everybody come out. They need to make like filing cabinets with cushions on top.
Who was the first person to do this? Was it Anna from Miami when she pulled out like a manila folder against Leah Black? I think that she started it, but I could be incorrect. I would love to... Please like and subscribe and write in the comments who was the first one to start bringing pieces of paper to reunions. Thank you very much.
So Sheree shows her Instagram post and then she's like, so there were fashions for the fashion show and he also has the transfer to his bank with proof and receipts. So don't believe everything you read on the internet except for this. Which is something that was read on the internet. But it counts differently because I printed it on actual paper and paper is not on the internet.
Candy's like, the fashions on your runway, half of them are not on your site. And Sheree's like, so what? Why are you so bothered by She by Sheree? Go mop the nasty ass floors in your restaurant. Mop the nasty ass floors. I can confirm those floors were actually pretty dirty.
We can confirm.
I remember feeling
those
that
floors
they were
need
dirty.
A mop.
Yeah. They were couldn't even be mopped because it was carpeted, which is also sort of a weird thing.
Then Candy goes, girl, don't. And Sheree goes, they're oily. They're oily. And Candy says, worry about your new drawn-on face or whatever you've got going on over there. And so now Sheree stands up and, like, comes for Candy, but no one really believes it. And he's like, okay, sit down.
And she's like, you could never. She's, like, showing off her body on her face. She's like, look at this. You could never. You could never. You could never. And Candy's like, you're talking about butt shots or whatever. You put all the shots in your face. But Candy's kind of like she's getting messed up on her own words. So she's having these sort of like janky reads. But Sheree's doing janky reads also. And everyone's like, okay, you two. You just all sit down.
And Sheree's like, I actually had some of my face fillers removed. And then Candy said, then why were you on TV with your face looking all crazy? And then Sheree goes, nah, bitch.
She goes, how do I look now, bitch?
Small face. My face, small face. And starts pointing at Candy. And Candy says, you're a low-down, dirty, nothing-ass bitch. And Sheree goes, bitch face, small face. You can't sit with me. I have a regular face and you have a small face.
Yeah. And I also liked, also in the middle of that, she goes, how do I look now, bitch? And Candy goes, you look much better. She like yells like an affirmation towards her. So Candy's like, I won't sit with you anywhere. Keep tidying up your work. And then he goes, did you? He's like, by the way, why are you saying big face, little face? And Sheree goes, oh, because I was swollen before, but now I'm not.
So she goes, this whole exchange made me laugh so hard. You can't sit with me, small face. So Andy goes, but don't you guys all go to the same place to get your face done? So anyway, so he goes, okay. So she hands him the paper. So he's like, okay, well, what you handed me is the woman who did your fashion show saying that you paid your bills. And Candy goes, come on, most of those clothes were not even on the website. And so Sheree's like, well, what do you care? And Candy says, because you came for my business. And Sheree says, well, focus on your business. And she says, but I do. And she goes, then why do you keep having shootings? And you know what? And she brings out more papers. And then Drew goes, not pamphlets. And she has printed out newspapers.
It was like the newspapers I printed out in seventh grade when I just bought Claris Works. Well, I didn't buy it. My parents bought it.
I knew you were bringing up fucking Claris Works. I wrote it down in my notes.
Did you really write down Claris Works? Because, you know, I had a new Mac. I got a Mac for my bar mitzvah. By the way, that's what I got, was a Mac. And I had Claris Works. And if you went on the drawing section of Claris Works, you could make like your own little newspapers. And I would do my own little newspapers. And that's literally what Sheree did. She did like a Ben Mandelker seventh grade newspaper. And it was called the She News. And it was like a full-fledged thing. She actually wrote articles, or her assistant wrote articles for this thing. And I don't know why she has not scanned it in and put it on social media yet.
That was so, so funny. And then Candy goes, well, I wish you would print some fashions. And she's like, she goes, look, everyone. Look at the clothes at Tags. They're $75 versus $9.99 at Shein, because they're calling her She by Shein, right? So everyone's dying laughing at this because these newspapers are literally hilarious.
Yes.
And so he has to go do the dog.
Everyone's talking over themselves. Dog. Yeah. And so he's like trying to, first he's like, ladies. And then there's a little Leanne Locken bowl that he's trying to hit. And then he goes up to the gong and bangs it to get their attention, which I'm not sure any of that actually even worked, but eventually they settled down. Worked.
Yeah, so she's like, how can you compare a store that I've had going for 14 years to your stupid She by Shein website, which is not even working? And Kenya goes, hey, I'm not even in this newspaper. Why aren't I on the cover? This is trash.
And Sheree's like, well, I thought about it, but I couldn't find a great picture. So everyone starts laughing. She's like, no. I mean, there's so many. I couldn't narrow it down. It was an accidental read. So then Andy's like, okay, well, I want to point out that the first six pages of the She News are devoted to taking down Candy's restaurants, and you seem to have put together any bad reviews or any articles that are unfavorable, and then the last two pages are devoted to Tags, your store, 14 years, so which is still going strong. It has some fashions from Shein and AliExpress. It's a great publication. Who said that newspapers were dead? By the way,
I died that she just went and copy and pasted bad Yelp reviews and put them into newspaper.
I am subscribing to this newspaper. I love the idea of just like a deep dive on shitty restaurants and then some shade on a store.
That shit is hilarious. So Andy's like, okay, so did anybody get to keep the merch that Sheree gave in Portugal? And so she brings out like a bag for Drew, a She by Sheree bag.
There's so many props this reunion.
Yeah, a lot of props. And there's a present inside of it, and it's a clacker that says, and scene. Yeah. And then Drew starts cracking up. And Candy actually says, wow, Drew, you just said something pretty decent. Who's been helping you with your reads this year? Which I liked.
Oh, I thought that was towards Sheree.
I thought Oh, you're
it was
right.
about like
that would make more sense, but somehow in my head it just made more sense to Drew.
Andy's like, okay, so we're done with the prop comedy. All right. So Drew, despite a year filled with family drama, you stepped it up. Get it? Through it all, you proved you were good.
I didn't get it.
Step up. Because she was a step up, I think. There was a stomp the yard.
It was step up. So Andy's like, so we go through the Drew segment, Drew's terrible fake video and her fake marriage or her fake everything Drew.
Everything so you Drew's already storyline. Know. And so Andy's like, he's like, so how was shooting a movie with Candy and Todd? Was it like going to a lemonade stand, but with movie version? And she's like, it was a lot better than I thought it would be. I mean, 10 days, that's a very aggressive schedule, but it was top tier. I mean, the food was great. The trailer was great. The director was exciting for him to do his first movie. He actually normally works at TJ Maxx, so that was exciting for him, and he was really top tier.
And Andy's like, well, Candy, what did you feel when you heard Drew say, from now on, she's only doing Lifetime or above? And Drew's like, oh my God, give me a break. I was tired. Sorry. I was talking to my assistant. And Candy goes, good luck with that.
It's kind of true. But also, Drew's totally right about this. And she's like, I came below what I normally get paid. And so Andy goes, oh, so what you're saying is you're not going to do independent movies anymore. Yes, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the past debut at Sundance next year.
Also, well, it was on Peacock. I mean, that's not so bad. I mean, they had this whole big Peacock tie-in for this movie. Yeah. They're releasing major releases on Peacock. And also, Marlo mentions like, oh, I heard that she only got paid. Oh, Sheree says, I heard she only got $10,000 for all of that work. And Candy's like, we paid her more than that. Wow, $10,000! I believe that.
I believe
they made so much money, and people. This is why people are striking. This right here, that you make this whole. And granted, it was a shit movie. It was not a good movie. I watched the whole thing, but they put this whole movie on Peacock. Candy and Todd made a lot of money from that movie, and you're going to give Drew now. Drew's acting, was it worth more than $10,000? It was not worth more than $10. It was terrible acting.
Well, maybe Drew got some points on the back end. Although I doubt it. I don't think Candy and Todd would.
But how do you get points from a movie that's released on Peacock?
How do you make any money from anything that's released on streamers? Ha! That was a little something for the guilds right there. So then Drew
you just changed everything.
So Drew says,
strike's over.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
I know, that was
but seriously,
everyone, Bob Iger is like, wait a second, guys, I was listening to this podcast, they were recapping Real Housewives of Atlanta, and then this podcaster made this really strong point about this movie, The Pass. How would Drew Sidora make a living off of what we streamers are giving them? Drew Sidora deserves to eat. Strike is over, we give in!
So basically, she's like, look, I believed in what they were doing. You've got this nobody Todd trying to do, asking his friends to come together for a bigger purpose. And I do have a minimum ask through my union. So she got paid union scale, which is...
No, she got lower than union, it sounds like. She says, I have a minimum. And she said she went below it. She basically is like, I was doing you a favor. It was for the TV show. And I knew that it might get onto Peacock. That's basically what she's saying. So...
Poofy from Chair says, Kenya, you tweeted you were disappointed in Drew's shade about your acting career. You said, so disappointed by Drew's comments. I've always supported her dreams. I've never asked her about her acting career or singing career when she fell off. Only encouraged her and praised her. Wow, uncalled for and unprovoked. Wow. But you threw shade saying her music video was low-budget Beyonce. What's the difference, Kenya?
Well, the difference is I was shading production and the whole like, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's because, I mean, I think that you need more than that because you are talented, Drew. You are.
And Marlo's like,
gaslighting you just like Ralph. Just like Ralph.
And Drew's like, well, but I was the creator director of that project. I was the creative director of that project. So when you're shading production, you're shading me. I literally picked my own skates, and I also asked people to wear leggings. So, I'm creative director.
I take umbrage at being called low-budget Beyonce, but I'm looking forward to people seeing my my new song for my new album called Renaissance. So everyone want to come see me at Renaissance. My low budget Beyonce.
Beyonce, the whole concert. Okay, so you know how one of her poses for Renaissance is her lying down. She's like lying on her side. It's a beautiful photo. She's naked. But then they'll show different outfits. She's still lying down in that exact same pose, but in a different outfit. And I was like, is this whole show about a fucking nap? Like, did Beyonce make a literal show? So we were calling it like, we're like, I love Napissance. Yes. Sorry. So Andy's like, so did it upset you that Drew accused you of making up the LaToya situation to get ratings for your movie? And Candy's like, I was very offended. And Drew's like, then why did you say in 2021, if you misread the situation, you were wrong?
And Candy's like, well, I was just joking. I mean, I was just trying to be a good friend to you because, like, I was trying to be, like, since you were in a relationship, I want to be like, well, because you were married and I know why you were going so hard about it, I want, Candy's basically saying, I'm giving myself an out to call myself wrong because I can see this might be fucking up your relationship right now. And so Andy's like, well, is there a chance, Candy, that you saw it wrong? And Candy's like, no, I definitely saw her. I didn't imagine it. The movie was, by the way, the movie didn't even exist back then. So how are you even telling me that I'm making up this whole storyline to promote a movie when it already happened? And I'm like, well, I think the point is that you're bringing it up again to help promote the movie. But even that, I don't believe either, because that is such a stretch.
So Sonia's like, well, the one whose story keeps changing is LaToya's. And Drew's like, those are candy-coated lies. Those are candy-coated lies. Drew with her rehearsed reads coming through as usual. Andrew's like, I was just told to go along with it because a lot of people are afraid of the queen, Candy Burris, because she has 10 million followers. Oh, okay. So that's the new victim shield. Like, you have less followers, so we have to, like, consider your trauma in having less followers than Candy. Be quiet. You made out with some girl. Everybody saw it. Stop your gay panic and stop with your bullshit. Oh my God, my kids are going to see this. They're also going to see you, like, putting up with a lot of Ralph's bullshit, which I would much rather see your kids see you making out with a girl than dealing with the disrespect of fucking Ralph, that fucking monster. Hate that guy, Ralph, and his stupid cardboard cutout of himself.
Drew is basically like, so she's basically like, yeah, like people are afraid of going up against Queen Candy Burris. And so Candy's like, well, you know, I saw you, Kenya saw you, Marlo, did you see her making out with LaToya? And Marlo's like, well, I saw 80%. And I changed my answer because Drew was like, oh, my kids, my kids, my kids. But then she's like, but this is what I saw. So she puts her face right up on, I think, Sheree's face. So Drew goes, oh, so we were talking. You saw us talking. It's like, Drew, that was a centimeter away from someone's face. That is not a conversation.
And Sonia's like, yeah, you're not. So you didn't see them kiss? And Candy's like, please, you had your arms around each other and then you were this close to each other's face. Please, all the time we're sitting here saying, okay, before we get into this part, I just want to say, I changed my answer because Drew's like, my kids, my kids, my kids. I saw them all this close in each other's face. Wait, hold on. Marlo, did you see her or not? Oh, damn it. I forgot what I was going to say. Okay, we can get into this part. This is where, oh, no. It's the I'm afraid, everyone's afraid to come after Candy Burris, the queen bee, because she has 10 million followers. Everybody came for Candy this year.
Yeah.
Literally everybody came for Candy.
That's true, too.
That article makes no sense. I mean, that argument makes no sense. Okay, so then this is where Candy loses me, though. She's saying, all this time, you're sitting here saying that you've been gaslighted by Ralph, but the way you sit here and lie on this chair, I'm thinking for sure now you're the one gaslighting him. Okay, now listen, Candy. I get you have some problems with Drew, but to sit there and take Ralph's side, even for a second, over anything is bullshit. And Candy often comes on here and takes the side of the terrible man, and I hate when she does that.
Yeah, I don't think that that Drew is gaslighting Ralph. I think Drew is a... I think she's a liar for sure because she lies about things. Look at Drop It With Drew. I think that Drew is like a grifter and a liar for sure. But Ralph is the actual gaslighter here. This was This was not. I also was with you with this one. I was like, no, Candy, that's not right. Because yeah, Ralph is like the this. Gaslighter, okay? Yeah. And but she's like, you are a liar, and the truth isn't in you. And Sonia, who it's like, in case you forgot that Sonia was there, because it was very easy to forget. She's like, oh yeah, you lied on me last year.
Yeah, she says, you lied on me, Drew. You lied on me last year. And Andy's like, so Drew, how's your song going? And she goes, wait, hold on, Andy. I just want to make sure that we're good, Candy. Really? You were just screaming candy-coated lies over and over
again. I know.
Look, what are you talking about, you fako? So they all start cracking up, and Andy goes, I don't think that you're good. Yeah. I really think you're not good. I really want to guarantee you, you're not good.
He goes, you just switched her side to Ralph's side. You're not good. And Kenny goes, we were all rooting for you. So then Drew's like, he's like, well, my math may not be mathing. I literally sound like Andy Cohen now, by the way. She's like, you know, because half the reunions, Randy Cohen shows up looking like he just took a, sounding like he just took a hit from a bong, which is what my COVID chest sounds like right now. So Drew's like, my math may not be mathing, but where did I lie? I mean, except for the amount of weight I lost. I mean, other than that, I haven't lied on this show whatsoever. Producers immediately show footage.
That's a huge lie when your whole business is called Drop It With Drew.
That's a literal fraud. By the way, you could go to jail. And then the producers add, they show footage in 2021 where she goes, I've kissed a girl before. And then 2023, I've never kissed a woman before.
So he asks about the song again. And she's like, oh my God, it's amazing. It did 100K in one day. And it just got put on BET, which I don't understand that.
Well, I can't wait for everyone to hear my follow-up single, Hazy in Love. And of course,
cozy blankets.
All the women who are not in relationships. I can see a corona of light around your head.
Paddleboard. Paddleboard. So...
Break my inner essence.
So Andy's like, and you do realize that South Africa's in Africa now, right?
Drew goes, I can.
Cracks me up every time.
Drew goes, I can own it. That's funny too, because we know you literally can't afford to own anything. You owe $1,000 to your chef. So Andy's like, oh, and Kenya, you also thought Portugal was in Spain.
And she's like, yeah, that was my biggest mistake on this show, Andy. I'm bad at geometry. It's like, okay. All right. And the fact that you say that's your biggest mistake on the show while you're in a 10-year divorce with Mark is also like, come on. So then Andy's like, Marlo, Matt from Locke wants to know if you're sorry about your treatment of Drew this season. You really need to learn to control your emotions and stop bashing women for their bodies. Not everyone can pay to fix them like you.
Especially not goes, Drew Zadora. Yes.
That's the read, Andy. That's the read. And Drew's like cheering and circle snapping.
And Marlo's like, everyone on this couch has had something done to their body or their face. I only had lipo and just lipo, and I've had it 3 times. And Drew is like, you're so insulting. You're so out of touch. You don't have a touch. You're touchless. You're a touchless person. No penetration. Touchless. It's like, okay, well.
I was like, why are we moving into like kinds of car washes?
You are like a premium experience where we'll be wax on the undersides.
Drew is terrible at this. Like, it is, I have to say, Drew is fun to watch because she's so delusional and such a compulsive liar that it's funny watching her set up her life being one way and then completely just going downhill. Like, that is a classic sign of a good housewife. But God, the reading is just... I mean, it's fundamental. Like, that needs to be a part of it. And I'm sick of settling for less. Like, Drew does have all this other stuff going for her, but these reads are just, you are touchless.
Well, also, Marlo's not so great at it because she goes, also, her reads come from gay panic. She's like, oh, yeah, you like to touch a lot. You like to tongue kiss. You like to tongue kiss girls and deny it. You like tongue kissing girls and you're ashamed to admit it. You kissed a girl and you liked it. Da, 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 da. And he's like, okay. Well, Drew, you couldn't give us many details of your divorce in your final interview.
Are you ready to give us a little bit more information while Ralph joins us later? Can you explain why his head is shaped the way it is? I've wanted to know for 3 years. We got to get to the bottom of this.
Was a tiny hat put on him when he was a baby and still had a soft head, and then just left on his head for years while his skull actually formed into a hard skull?
Was he forced to a Conehead convention when he was very, very young?
So Drew's like, I have children to protect, and we're still married, and I believe in the secrecy of that. Like, the secrecy is not a word. Is secrecy a word?
It's not a word. I'm looking it up. It's not a word. Don't, okay, you know, you. I already looked that up. Secrecy is not a word. I believe in the secrecy of secrecy.
But it's best when it comes from somebody holy who's like, I come from a church family where I sing in church and I believe in secrecy.
Yes, I believe in secrecy, which is why I became very, very impassioned about a random preacher's marital issues 2 years ago that had nothing to do with anything, but forced it onto the show. Prophet Lot?
What was his name? Prophet Lot?
Was that his name? Prophet Lot?
Oh my God.
Because yes. He may have had an illicit affair with LaToya. We should have known then this show. Yes. That was the harbinger. How do we not know? Like, the reboot should have happened right then and there. Although that wasn't hilarious.
But that was also classic and hilarious.
It was hilarious.
Like, that was a terrible season on its own. But God, that part was so funny. That's the same part where she showed up to the party where everybody had to spend $1,000 and she brought a mixtape and a boombox.
Yeah, she thought it was like a gag gift night, and then it wasn't. So Sonia's like, well, she goes, you guys don't think you can mend it? And Drew's like, as of right now, we're just going through the process. And Kenya's like, well, things can change. Like, why are you guys rooting for these two to get back together? Ralph is terrible. Say what you will about Drew. Terrible. Ralph is terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. So then they go on break and they're having small talk, and Trace bragging about getting her shoes for $39, and Marlo saying that she just started Pilates, and Sheree goes, when? Yesterday?
Surprised Andy didn't ask if Sheree paid for those $39 shoes. Me? So then, now the friends ofs are coming on stage. So Moneta comes on stage and Courtney's delayed because she's having an issue with her mic. And so she sits down next to Sonia and Andy's like, we're back with the Real Housewives of Atlanta. We are joined by some friends. Welcome Moneta and Courtney. Moneta, did you notice any collusion backstage? Moneta's like, maybe. Okay, great. Moneta, thanks so much for being here tonight. You've been great.
What is the shape of Courtney's dress?
It's like
it feels like a drunk person trying to make like a kissy
face. It was awful. I'm sorry. It was awful. Despite what Marlo later says, it looked like it was like the topper, like the topper of either a Christmas tree or a wedding cake, but turned into a dress.
It was not good.
I didn't like it.
So he's like, hi, Courtney. How are you related to what's his buns? And Courtney's like, oh, my dad's sister is married to Ralph's uncle. What does that mean? You are not cousins.
Yeah, no. Well, you're like
your dad's cousins-in-law. Sister.
So your dad's aunt.
Sister.
Your aunt is married to Ralph's uncle. So?
That's tenuous.
Well, they're like cousins-in-law. That's
some tenuous cousindom.
I actually don't think it's that tenuous. I mean, that's literally just like right there with the family tree. It's like aunt and uncle. Like,
can I be honest? I don't really understand family trees.
It is literally
I think it's my problem with being unable to grasp just trees and things.
Well, this is just an uninteresting tree. I don't really understand. But it's basically like an aunt and an uncle are married.
This is a poplar tree.
It's poplar.
It's boring.
It's a boring
poplar, tree. The most boring tree.
Is it? There, I don't know which. I actually don't know what they look like, to be honest.
Oh, really? Well, Google it. You know why you don't know? Because its ass is born.
I'm going to look.
Okay.
At poplar tree.
Poplar
tree. Poplar or poplar? I don't know how to say it even.
I say poplar.
I'm going to look.
I hate them. They're those ones that are shaped like a gigantic elongated traffic cone. That just tall.
They're like trying to be a cypress tree, but they're not. It's like, way to go. They're like the Courtney trees. Of trees. Like, you're not a full-fledged cast member. You're not cypress. Because look at a cypress tree.
A cypress tree? Okay, I've never seen a cypress tree.
Cypress trees are what poplars wish they... By the way, I literally have 10 poplar trees right outside.
Wait a minute. I thought these were the same trees. I've always called them poplar trees. Are they the same?
Are cypress and poplar the same? Now we got to get to this. Cypress versus poplar. I love doing a versus on Google. Compare Italian cypress with Lombardy poplar. Ooh.
They look the same, no? But I hate these kind of trees. These like tall, skinny Christmas trees. I think cypress trees are fatter and poplar trees are the really super thin
ones. I feel like
stand next to each other. It's like a bunch of thin people trying to block you from sitting at their table, and they all stand right next to each other. Like, we may be thin, but 10 of us can block you from sitting at this table, Ronnie.
So I feel, here's what I feel like. I feel like cypress trees are like the naturally skinny ones, and poplar trees are not naturally skinny, but they are cut to look like cypress trees, but they're not cypress trees, and they're like faking it. That's my theory.
Well, let me tell you, in the past 5 minutes, I have Googled poplar trees and cypress trees, and both of them turned in better performances than both Moneta and Courtney this season. What a fucking waste.
I also have to say,
oh my God.
I have to see how they're pronounced, pronunciation, because one of us is saying it wrong, and I don't, it's poplar or
no, poplar? No, poplar. I'm calling poplar. Them poplar, poplar trees. I don't care. Poplar.
Poplar.
Oh, wait, poplar. Did you hear that?
No. Oh, we're both wrong. Poplar.
Poplar.
Do you want to be poplar?
Poplar. Poplar.
That's funny, because the poplar are like the poplar girls standing next to each other trying to block me from sitting at the
table. I feel
like fuck you, poplar girls.
Poplar sounds like the last name of like your aunt's friend. Like, oh, so I was talking to Deb Poplar the other day. You know what she told me? Best Buy's closing. Yeah.
You know, she got a pop smear. She got a pop smear by
yeah.
She got a Poplar got a pap smear.
Yeah, Deb Poplar. It hurt. Deb Poplar got a pap smear. The Paps were following her, you know, local newspaper. We call them the Paps, just some kids.
She was being followed by the Papslers. Okay, so Andy's like, that's weak. And Courtney's like, it depends on who you ask what families mean. And so then Drew's like, you're giving fake cousin to me. And Courtney's like, you're talking fake. Let's not talk about fake, Drew.
Everything about and you then, is fake, so let's not start.
So then Drew is like, she's like, oh, she's coming in so hot. Let me see. Courtney, catch. So then she goes into her bag and she pulls out a plum and goes, they didn't have peaches for you, baby. So she throws a plum.
So here you go. And so she throws a plum at her on the ground.
I love a stone fruit diss.
Yeah. And Courtney's like, there she goes with the corny props again. Like Drew's still, I mean, Courtney has a point here.
Yeah.
Drew is terrible with props and she's still doing it. And so Andy picks it up and just eats it. He's like, fuck this job. Finally, something healthy in craft services.
Well, with the help of a life coach, Marlo tried to evolve into Marlo 2.0, but it seemed like on more than one occasion, she might have pulled the old Marlo out of the archive. So we get the Marlo segment. So Andy asks about Scott Lee, and they're having fun, and they haven't met each other. The kids haven't met each other. And then...
fake.
Yeah, and then there's that, too. And then Filet from Mignon asks, Marlo, you haven't been on a date in 4 years, but surely you were getting your needs met. Tell us what you were really up to before Scott Lee. I'm like, what? You want her just... masturbation. I mean, what do you want her to say?
She's like, you know, Andy, I'm not really into the bedroom or something. I was like, oh, okay. Did you see Kenya? I think we mentioned it last week, but Kenya reposting that picture that was taken, and it was a shot at Marlo's house of her hugging one of the nephews, and you see a chairlift in the back going up the stairs. Did you see that? Like her Ted Turner chairlift. Marlo's like, you know what? When I'm off the clock, I'm just done. Okay. Can a woman just take a damn break?
Yeah.
So, this is Marlo's just a bunch of fake crap. It's like her boyfriend who's fake. Then it was the DMs, which was fake. Then it's like, why is it okay for Kenya's guy to slide into Marlo's DMs, but it's not okay for Roy to slide in, or it's not okay for Martell to slide into Kenya's DMs?
Yeah, all that good stuff. So, so then Kenya's like, well, he said it wasn't a date. They took a lunch, and he doesn't remember. He said, I don't remember, but I took a lunch, and yada, 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 and yada. It's really deeply uninteresting, because really, who cares about Roy?
So, it really is. The best part is just that Kenya kind of lies herself into another corner, because, well, first, Marlo's like, we talked. We went to Chupa Rica or something. And Kenya goes, you went to Taco Bell. She goes, no, it was Chupa Rica, which I guess is like a Taco Bell style place. Mm-hmm. And Kenya goes, we know from Marlo that wasn't a date because her dates end when money is left on the dresser. And he's like, okay, but come on. It had to annoy you that he went out with Marlo. And she's like, it was a long time. Didn't speak to her again. And then Andy said, but then why didn't Roy come on the show? And Kenya says, because he was offended that Marlo said that she was the one who popped his cherry. And Andy's like, yeah, but that ad didn't come out till after the show was airing. So the show was filmed already. So why wouldn't Roy come on the film?
And then she was like,
why wouldn't he come on film earlier? And she's like, because he knew it was said.
She said it was in the super tease. That would
probably be on the super tease.
And he's like, but the super tease doesn't come out till we're done rapping. And she goes, yeah, but he had heard about what we had talked about. And so then when the super tease came out, it was a turnoff because he's like a businessman. And so he basically, lie, he has lie, a time lie, machine. Lie. If you put the kale together in a certain way and add the right kind of dressing, it can take you into the future. Right. So in the future, he saw the super tease and he came back. He said, I'm not going to film.
So everybody's just going to show up and lie. It's bad enough you guys didn't show up and do your damn jobs all season. Now you're just going to show up and lie about literally everything.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. Now I will say, it's also very funny. But
well, Deb Paplar from Cape Coral, Florida said one of her favorite moments of the season was when Marlo did her fashion corner at Gucci brunch. She also says, does anyone have a good recipe for a hot dish? Hers is getting stale. Well, anyway, can Marlo do a fashion corner for the ladies' reunion looks?
I have to be the one to break it to you. Wasn't funny then, wasn't funny today. Marlo sucks at this, and she will never be doing Fashion Police. Thank you. Joan Rivers was in heaven just going,
that's what I gotta say to you.
Marlo's like, kind of like that, don't like that. Like that, I love your boobs. The end.
She loved Courtney's. I actually was like, this is pretty cool. She seems to be giving like an honest, she wasn't like being super mean to the people she didn't like. But then when she said that, Courtney, I'm living for this. She goes, this is so over the top. I'm here for every bit of it. It's so amazing. I was like, okay, I'm not a fashion gay, but even I think Courtney's look is crazy. I feel like I have confidence in knowing that Courtney's look was crazy.
So, rumors of sex, lies, and Marlo's videotape revealed a divided alliance. Was it collusion or delusion? So then we get to collusion. Why would Moneta say the word collusion? And she's like, well, I just thought it was weird that Courtney was saying that she would never go against Sheree.
But she was Sheree's, by the way, I feel like everyone's forgetting, like the narrative has been that Courtney is Drew and Ralph's cousin, but she actually came on as Sheree's friend initially, and then they found out, oh, by the way, isn't it funny that she's cousins with Ralph? So like her entree was not with some sort of loyalty to Drew. She was always loyal to Sheree.
Right. Sorry, I was swallowing my spit and it was more interesting than what happened in this segment. So basically, Moneta is accusing them of being in an alliance while she has done nothing but lick the assholes of her friends this entire
season.
Says
Moneta. And
tattletailed on everyone else. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, yeah. Moneta. Okay.
Sorry, I'm slow. Can't believe
no, both of us. The show's rotting my brain. So basically, it's this whole thing where Moneta's trying to explain herself, and then Courtney's like, but what I was saying was this bitch, I was saying it about LaToya, like this bitch is trying to tell me, blah, blah. They're still going over this whole thing.
But then she goes, now she's changed her story for the third time. And she goes, no, I was imitating. I was imitating on the tape what Drew was saying about LaToya. It was an imitation of Drew talking about LaToya. So now she's saying, when she said this bitch, which, by the way, the fact that the term this bitch, in the context, regardless of how it is, the this bitch there, the way she said it on that tape was so not a malicious this bitch. It was colloquial miss bitch, this bitch. It was not like you bitch. It was this bitch. So, but either way, now she's saying she was imitating Drew. So now she keeps on saying it's an imitation, and she keeps on referring to it as the imitation.
Yeah, so stupid. You didn't have to apologize for that in the first place. And so then Bunyetta's like, oh, okay, so now you didn't call her a bitch. She goes, You were confused, Bunyetta, you're confused. And Bunyetta's like, oh, okay, noted.
Got you. So then Boris from Yeltsin says, Candy, how did you feel when Courtney called you ghetto while Sheree and Sonia laughed? And Sonia's like, she did not say ghetto, which she didn't. That's not a great question. Candy's like, we didn't know each other. And obviously, if Sonia is talking about me, she's telling me this, but she's also laughing while she's telling, and I know that she didn't stick up for me. That's what bothered me. This other lady, I don't even know. I don't care what she
wants. And Sonia says that there was precedent for this because a couple of months prior, when Drew posted something on Instagram that said, hair flipping on the flip-flopper, which was like flipping the hair on Sonia, and Sonia showed that to Candy to be like, this is fucked up, and Candy said, like, by the way, don't be mad, but that's kind of funny. That's when now Sonia was like, so I thought it was cool that we could laugh at yada yada. But that's not really the same thing. Like, it's one thing if you say, like, this is so obnoxious, and someone says, actually, it's kind of funny, versus someone, like, maligning your business, and then you laugh along, and then to their face, you're like, oh, yeah, Courtney was saying this, or just acting like you have their back. I mean, I actually don't think that.
Well, Sonia's notorious for that on this show, though. Yeah. She acts like she's your friend, then she takes everything you told her and uses it against you to stir the pot, you know? I mean, and she's kind of trying to earn her check. I get it. I don't think she's malicious. She's just so boring. She's maliciously boring. Like, well, unless she's being this boring to, like, just torture me.
I think she's entitled to laugh in that moment. I think where everyone gets into trouble on these shows is where they start making these declarations of having so-and-so's back. I mean, look at Salt Lake City last year. Everything's about, like, but I've got your back. I'm a ride or die. So then the moment you declare this quality that you have, you know, now you have, it's like the perfection test. And the moment that you, like, don't truly have someone's back every second of the night, now you get, like, raked over the coals at the reunion. And that was Sonia's mistake. She should have just been like, yeah, whatever, I thought it was funny. I thought what she said was funny. If you want to deal with her, you deal with her.
So then Moneta, Cloris, Lee from Chmin says, how does it feel knowing Marlo did try to slam a door now that you've seen? Of course Marlo tried to slam the door, okay? We all know this.
Door slam
gate.
It's
so stupid. Oh, my God. So then they start going through this whole thing. And then Moneta's like, you guys were like hyenas standing up for Marlo when she clearly did it. And Sheree's like, well, but you were behind her. So if she slammed the door on you, then you would know. I was trying to keep the peace. And so you're calling me a hyena, and that's out of line. And you call me a gaslighter. I was three people behind. I couldn't even see.
Sheree's argument is so twisted. It's hilarious. She's basically saying, like, you can't call me a hyena because you should have known that whatever I said about this door was irrelevant because I didn't have a good vantage point. You had the vantage point, so you shouldn't have even cared about what I said, so therefore you shouldn't call me a hyena. It, like, was so twisted in its logic to exonerate her when she basically butted her head into something that she couldn't see, and she made a declaration about something that she knew nothing about. But she's like, well, it's not my fault Drew I did goes, that, because that's the best that I could see.
And then Drew goes, okay, but then after you saw it, how did you feel? She goes, oh, she slammed the door. she did slam the door. So then Moneta's like, okay, well, I see you, you know, I see you standing up for her, and that upset me. And Sheree's like, okay, well, you need to go with your instincts more. Then that's what I can tell you. And she goes, okay, note taken.
If someone slams a door in your face, you need to have more confidence that they were slamming a door in your face. You shouldn't have to come to us to verify it.
So, okay, so then why was the filming late night in the hotel room an issue when they're on a reality show? The issue is that the cameras went down and they think that they're able to let their hair down and do whatever the fuck they want. Unfortunately, none of these people remember Bolo from just two seasons ago, where they're still talking about the stuff that kept going on after the cameras went down.
So Andy's like,
dumb.
Andy's like, Marlo, why would you send the footage to LaToya? Which I think is a dumb question. Of course she's going to send it to LaToya because Drew is suddenly acting like she didn't make out with LaToya, even though it was, like, stated previously. So she's going to act like she didn't make out. So she's going to be like, hey, can you believe this is what Drew is saying about you? So to me, it makes sense. Whether or not it's a nice thing or a good thing to do to send a video behind someone's back, that's a whole other issue. But I understand why Marlo did it in that moment. And so Marlo's like, well, LaToya would be honest and tell me the truth, which is also funny because LaToya has, like, is always been so slippery.
She's changed her story.
LaToya will say whatever it takes to get onto TV, and she, the season that she was on, that's all she would do was just like just say shit to try to be on TV.
Yes. So she says, yeah, she'll be honest. And Andy's like, well, I want to talk about Mineta's bitch video. Why did you take that so personally? And Drew's like, because I didn't do anything to warrant that. And everyone said that she was, you know, up there, like, fighting for her life. Like, veins are popping out. I mean, it was a lot. Like, I mean, she was like a singing soprano. I mean, like, she was really going for it. And Courtney's like, keep lying. Verifiable, unverifiable, fake cousin verified.
Yeah, and then Andy's like, well, Courtney, why did you admit that you called Courtney? Drew a bitch if you say you did it? And she goes, because she was getting on my nerves. All right, well, Blanche from Devereaux says, Kenya, can you explain the trip to Birmingham? I mean, we're on Bravo, not TLC. Why did you subject us to this? It seemed like you were out of the loop regarding every event of your trip. Were you ever planning to record the halftime show in the first place? And she and Mineta claimed they were rehearsing for weeks and that they'd even gone down a few times to work with the band. So apparently they had, but I don't know.
Don't believe it.
Well, Chuck E. Cheese says, Candy, do you even want to be a part of this group? Because you're always leaving early or you're not attending anything.
And she's like, listen, I was in a very intense situation with my group, which was very public because it was a spinoff television show. Ding! On this channel. And so I was ready to, you know, I was ready to come into the season. I was ready for the smoke. And it's not that I don't want to be here. I just bit off more than I could chew, Andy. And I think this has been, listen, all the cast was on Candy for not being around and not doing anything this season. I thought this was one of Candy's better seasons. I mean,
I love Candy. She fought with
people a lot. She almost beat the crap out of people a couple of times. I thought when she did show up, she fought. She didn't just refuse to argue with anybody. People threw shit at her all season, and I think she handled it really well. I think the people who are haters just can't handle that Candy can talk her way out of anything because she's not wrong that much. And when she's wrong, she just says sorry and then moves on like it was no big deal.
Yeah, you know? I think that in terms of people who don't show up or leave early or things like that, Candy is like really not one of the most flagrant violators of that. I think like Portia, Kenya, Nene back in the day, I feel like we saw more of that with them. But, you know, but she was, I mean, Candy did definitely have some issues with that this season. And she's like, yeah, I bit off more than I can chew. I mean, that's, what else can you want from her? I mean, that's really, she's like, yeah, it was my bad. So then Andy's like, okay, well, Mineta, you told a story about how Drew had a crush on Ty, the lesbian from the past set. So did that lead you to believe that they'd become involved? And Mineta's like, well, when I saw the things, I didn't know what to believe. And then that's how I was trying to get in touch with Drew. And once I did, it all made sense. And Drew's like, yeah, I was just joking when I said that. I mean, we're doing a movie about a lesbian lover. So, like, we're on the set joking. It was just like a joke.
Okay, you know what? Then fuck this show. Because it actually makes sense what she's saying. But, like, so Drew's not having an affair with this chick? Then why are you guys making all of your ads about Drew's lesbian affair and Drew's this and that? There's a lot of gay panic, you know, on Bravo in general, especially this show. And that's not cool. Fuck you guys. Like, your season already sucked. And so now you're going to, like, hype up some fake gay drama to get everybody all up in arms. And now your answer is like, it was nothing. Yeah. It's just like an offhanded comment I made. Reboot it. This show is basically one giant spinning beach ball at this point. Control, Alt, Delete.
Yeah.
Reboot.
So Drew.
Totally in favor.
Drew says, oh yeah, I've been in favor for a few years. Drew's like, Courtney doesn't know anything about me and Ralph, and she just met Ralph yesterday, and Ralph and her, he's been coaching her this whole season. A lot of things you said were things that Ralph said, and I'm going to say this one time. Don't you ever, ever in your life speak on my son. And so then now Drew is...
Oh, okay. Now it's all about speaking on your son.
Yeah, so now Drew has pivoted to this because Courtney on her hot mic had said, like, okay, go, like, adopt...
Well, actually, she has a point in this one. I just remembered what was actually.
She said she had a point. Yeah, she said, like, okay, go adopt this kid so then she can go off and have like her gay romance, whatever she said. So Drew did not like that, obviously.
Yeah, and she had a right to. I'm sorry for saying something snarky. I forgot she was saying, she actually did say that stuff. And Courtney's like, I didn't care. I didn't say it off the camera. I knew the cameras were on, whatever. But also, Courtney just said, I didn't say anything about your son. So there you go.
And then Drew goes, you are not a real cousin. You're an unverifiable bitch. We're done. I'm like, yeah, we've been saying you guys are like not real cousins since the beginning, because she met Courtney, found out that Courtney was related to Ralph, and then started acting as if like she was raised with Courtney. She's like, Cousin Courtney. And we're like, you just met this person. How are you all of a sudden taking her like under your wing so blindly?
I know. You can't just run around saying you can't make Cousin Courtney happen. You were the one trying to make Cousin Courtney happen. It was you.
So that's the cliffhanger, is Drew saying to Courtney, we're done. And I think that speaks to the sadness of the season, that has to be the cliffhanger. Like, will Drew and Courtney ever be able to repair their relationship? Don't know. Don't care.
Don't know. Do not care. But guess what?
But it was still a funny hour.
It was really
fun. Despite all this.
It was a very funny hour to watch, because all of the nonsense of the season was hard to sit through because it was just such bullshit. It's all built on lies. No one's really sharing anything, and it does suck. But seeing it all put together like this and just edited together was very funny. Also, these women are mostly in their element in a reunion. They're all quick. They're very funny, and they're really charming. I don't know. I have a feeling that this reboot thing is a lie. I think it's probably the network taking tests, putting different stories out, seeing what the fan reaction is going to be.
I don't know. The numbers are
still
so bad.
It still does pretty well. It's bad. It's bad for Atlanta, but it's not bad for Bravo. So they're still nearing 1 million a week, which is better than every other Housewives show. I mean, they're still doing more than Orange County, from what I'm reading. They're doing about 100 or 200,000 more a week than Orange County. The problem is they used to be the highest rated show on Bravo by far.
3 billion. They just need – I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if it's like – I'm not always in favor of just wiping the slate clean and doing like what they did with Roni. I really liked how what they did with Miami, which is some old, some new. That's also what Roni did. By the way, Roni did that season 5. They cleared out a bunch. We've seen it happen before where there's been big clearances. Because we also saw in New Jersey when they had the one season where they changed the whole cast. And they're like, oops, never mind. So,
but who would they keep? Because the old right now, and by the way, this doesn't mean age old. It means like...
old guard.
The more established.
I don't know. Right? I think it's really hard.
So it would be Kenya. Kenya has to go.
I think Kenya's not in it. I think her heart's not in it. I think Kenya regrettably has to go. Sheree, I feel like...
Sheree's been fun.
Sheree is always good for like the delusion and like... But she does hold back certain things. But I think you actually can keep Sheree. Candy, I'm so torn on Candy because I genuinely love Candy. She's one of my all-time favorites. I do feel like Candy... I feel like Candy really gives us a lot as a housewife. But I wonder if... I don't know if I want to watch another season of whatever project that she and Todd have up their sleeves.
Yeah, it's an infomercial. She needs to go. Also, she's the highest paid, I think, by far.
I think Drew has to go. I think Drew has never been quite the brand. She always feels...
I feel like they're going to keep Drew. I feel like they...
Drew is delusional. Like the There's new, that.
Yeah, I think they look at Drew as kind of like the new blood that's working for whatever reason.
Sonya's got to go.
I think they're going to keep her. I think they're probably going to keep Sonya, and I think they're going to keep...
I think Marlo goes back down to Marlo. Friends. You think they'll keep him? So then that's not a reboot. That's just firing Kenya.
I think those three and Candy. I think they're going to keep those three as the old, and they're going to get rid of Sheree. They're going to get rid of Candy and Kenya. I think they're going to look at the new old guard as Drew, Sonya, and Marlo.
Ugh, they can't keep Sonya.
I have a feeling. I'm not saying they should. This is not my opinion. Like, this is what they should do. I think this would be terrible. But what I've learned about Real Housewives of Atlanta is whoever's in charge over there is terrible. And they're going to fuck it up big time. And I have zero trust in them. So that's what I'm thinking is going to happen. I just wanted to put it on record. I'm saying they're going to keep Sonya, Marlo, Drew, and recast everybody else.
Yeah, maybe like the way that like Adriana was demoted to friend of with Miami, maybe do that with someone. Maybe Candy becomes a friend of.
Candy wouldn't do that.
She would not. Sheree.
There's no way in hell. Kenya wouldn't do it.
Kenya would. Sheree would. Sheree's done it before. She has been an official friend of. I think that I'm like, why does Miami work so well? What is so good about Miami? Why is that chemistry so strong?
They had a long break, first of all.
So the old guard who came back were Alexia, who we wanted an update. I mean, everything had changed in her life. She lost the husband. She lost the business. She had some new guy. She had like new death, new drama, new marriage. So she had all that. Marisol was just her sidekick, and she came back with a new character. Like, I'm a drunk and I'm hilarious.
She literally is a new person.
Adriana was a friend of, so she came back punching. Right. You know? They brought Larsa back. Larsa hadn't been on since season one. She's a completely different person.
And Larsa's now always a
Kardashian
awful.
Clone. So she was kind of new, even though she was an OG. And then they had all OGs.
If we're to pattern it, okay, so put someone as a friend of role. So let's say Sheree becomes a friend of, so she's in the Adriana role. We have, so the Alexia role is kind of like the not so smart person with very strongly held convictions, you know, like, so someone like that. I think that's,
but she's like she's like also the obvious lead, right? Like, she's got a love storyline, she's got a death, she's got tragedy,
she has stuff in her life that she wants to share that doesn't feel like she's, all that stuff is not there to be the star. It's like stuff that's happening in her life. Like, she is, and she has this guy in her life. She has stuff happening. It's not like Drew Sidora, where Drew like whips up stuff to be relevant, you know? So there's that. But now with the Larsa, does that mean Kim Zolciak takes the Larsa place?
You know,
they have the same with face.
The way that Bravo, you know how Bravo did their like, oh my God, guys, Black Lives Matter for like a year. And they were like, we're going to put a person of color on every show. For 1 year. I think it all expired, and then they just went back to being like regular Bravo where nothing mattered. And I'm pointing that out because to have the balls to put Kim Zolciak back on TV with her racist, disgusting ass, would they have the nerve?
Yes, they would.
They might.
Yeah, the answer is
they
yes.
They might have the nerve
Jax,
to do it.
Jax because is
they
back.
Have had, they're putting Jax back on. Surely they
Mary Cosby's
Stassi
back.
A gig.
They're all back.
Yeah, I mean, they're
everyone
they're
served
putting
their time.
All the people who got canceled back. They are putting them literally all.
Everyone
back
served
on TV,
their time.
So.
Bravo's putting them back. I think that
Bravo
could...
sensitivity tour is over. They're not faking it anymore. So who knows? Yeah. They could put Kim Zolciak back.
I mean, I think this show could use like a big trash box like Kim Zolciak. It doesn't have to be Kim Zolciak. But like a real like...
They could do Portia. That could be their OG.
I don't think that
they
Portia...
They could get rid of everybody and do Portia, Kim Zolciak, and...
Portia is so good.
Why do I feel like they're going to keep Marlo? They love Marlo, and they're giving her another hero edit this year.
They might keep Marlo. Because Marlo
they make
tries.
Her look like a fucking hero.
Marlo tries, and I think they appreciate
that. She fails.
That.
She just fails. So, like, her reads are bad. Everything about Marlo is just... failing.
Yeah, Portia, I don't know about Portia. I feel like Portia withholds, like, everything that happened with, you know, Simon and everything, you know, came out directly after the final reunion aired that 1 year, and I'm just like, ooh, I don't like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but her show, Ben, her show that came out
and she was great on Girls Trip.
A wreck. I mean, her show that came after that was a wreck. They made her look like a total... I don't think they made her, but they certainly didn't protect her. I mean, she looked like a total asshole on that show. It was good.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, she was great on Girls Trip, and I thought the Girls Trip season honestly was terrible, and I thought she was really good on it. So, I mean, they could do that, but I kind of feel... They could. If they do like a Miami-style reboot, I think they actually could put Portia back on. But like, Portia can't get too big for the show because that's what she did on her final season of Atlanta.
She already is. Like, she posted something like, I would do it for the money. Like, they would have to give me a ton of money to do it.
But I don't want to. I would be afraid that she would contrive storylines, you know?
Yeah, look, I think that New York has people divided, obviously, right? Like, was the scandal, was it right to just remove everybody and switch over? I still don't know the answer to that. I think it's a good new Housewives show on its own. I'm enjoying it. I think that this show could, I think they need to start doing it for a lot more shows. Look, we've talked about term limits for Housewives for literally almost 12 years now, and I think that... they need term limits. This has been just too long. It's not that I don't like Candy. I literally don't want to watch more hair grow on Todd's face or his nuts. Yes. I don't care. I'm over it. Kenya is done to me. She does nothing. I wish her the best. She was great on this show. She's done. It's over. Okay? Next.
Yeah, I think
cancel everybody. Get new people.
Bring Claudia Jordan back. How about that? That's what I say.
Bring nobody back. Bring nobody back. Start fresh. Over. Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever it is. If I have to generally say, like, who are the people whose lives I want to explore more? I'm not gonna say. I'm not gonna say Kenya. I'm not gonna say Candy. Honestly, I'm not gonna say Sheree either, because I can't say, oh, this person's got to stay because they're so funny. Like, one of the issues I feel like with the show too is that because so many of the cast members are funny, that's not a substitute for interesting always. And so like once the first few episodes of the season sort of subside and like the interviews are always very funny and you're always laughing at the shade and everything, but like now I need actually something to propel me through the season. And it's like Sonya's sister, not going to cut it. Candy's movie, not going to cut it. Sheree, the only thing interesting about Sheree was Martell. And then she wouldn't show Martell, so then that's not going to cut it. Watching her with a baby, I didn't care. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Start it over.
Well, we'll see. We still have next week's reunion. But, you know, all the negativity aside, God, they're so good at these reunions.
The reunion was great.
A really fun hour to watch.
Really funny.
On the telly. So, this is my all-time favorite Housewives. The first 7 or 8 seasons, 9 maybe even, were some of my favorite on TV. So I believe in you, show. I believe in you. Come back to me. And in the meantime, you guys come back to us. We are skipping Below Deck Down Under this week, but we will be back with Salt Lake City. We will be back with Orange County and a bonus episode just catching up on Bat Mitzvahs, Beyonce's, and Trips to La La Land.
All that good stuff.
We love you guys.
Bye.
We will talk to you next time. Bye-bye. Cough, cough. Cough, cough. Feel better, Ben.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. She's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
Ruru LaRue.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthew sisters. Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.